Hello and welcome to the Managing Madrid podcast. This is your host, Gabe Lezra, joining you from a very beautiful day here in Washington, D.C., joined by Skype, as always, by my co-host, Keon Silvani. Keon, how are you doing, my man?
I'm doing well. One step closer to the La Liga title.
And happy Mother's Day to everyone listening.
Happy Mother's Day.
In our lives. Thank you for everything you've done and you do for us every single day.
Cherish your mothers and hold them tight.
So, Keon, great Mother's Day gift today from Real Madrid, beating a, you know, kind of declining but still a very dangerous Sevilla side, 4-1 in the Bernabeu. Big game all around. I think pretty solid. We'll get into it. You guys have a lot of questions. We're probably just going to dive right in. But great result today for Madrid, Keon. It means that Madrid, over the last two games against Malaga and Celta, if Madrid gets one win and one draw, Madrid wins the Liga for the first time in far too long.
It seems pretty straightforward, doesn't it? Before the game, I think a lot of people looked at the game against Sevilla and thought, this is our toughest test. To me, I think it's probably going to be Malaga. We can get into that. But Sevilla went into this game without a lot of players, suspensions and injuries, two key attackers in Sarabia and Nasri. And I knew Jovetic was always going to be a problem, and he was. But up until the point where I think Zidane made the double substitution, he brought on Casemiro and Lucas Vazquez, took off Morata, took off James, and everything just got stabilized after that. Everything was subdued. There was like a lull in the game, which I think is exactly what Real Madrid wanted after like a lot of turmoil and really kind of like a lot of space for Sevilla to attack and not much compactness vertically. The substitutions in the 61st minute really killed the game and just kind of really packed the midfield and put Ronaldo up top. I think that was the turning point.
Yep. Yes, I agree. That being said, obviously Madrid did nag two goals in the first half to end at the break 2-0. Though there was some drama as if you hit the post and Kaylor was called into action a couple times. But overall, it felt like Madrid had this game in hand. So, Keon, what was your impression? I mean, I know you did a halftime notes, but what was your impression going into the half for Madrid? Did you feel good or were you a little bit nervous? Because I, for one, I saw that Jovetic had hit the post already. I was still a little nervous. I wanted Madrid to nail one more goal to really put this match to bed.
Yeah, I didn't think there was anything set in stone at halftime. I was surprised what I actually had to deal with at halftime, and it was everybody asking me, not everybody, I shouldn't generalize, maybe 25% of the people commenting on that video and also adding me on Twitter.
Interesting.
Telling me to clarify how, like, what the Nacho goal. And many people felt that it was illegal. And also, the ones who didn't think it was illegal, a lot of them thought it was unethical for some reason.
Really?
Yeah. And I had to kind of just put my foot down and be like, look, this is not about being unethical or... No, one person said, I'm a Real Madrid fan, but it wasn't in the spirit of the game. First of all, the goal was legal. The goal was legal. I think, you know, the point of this is to win the game, and the point is to win the title. And if you're asking Nacho to not try his luck from that position and try to be a bit cheeky, and in turn letting Barca win the title, I don't know where your priorities are. And...
Yeah, I agree. I also, Kim, we've seen this type of goal many times. I remember Ryan Giggs scoring one like this for United a few, way back in the mid-early 2000s. I remember plenty of people score this goal. Part of the reason that, you know, Keon, people, one of the things that immediately you're taught to do when the other team gets a free kick from that area is just stick someone literally to stand in front of the ball until the referee moves them. And that's what you do. And it was bang on Nacho for noticing that Sevilla were really not have all their they weren't concentrating, didn't realize that this is a very dangerous free kick in an area where if they don't stick someone right in front of the ball until the referee sets them, that Madrid could jump on that and take a shot. And this is, you'll look at a lot of these games, Keon, and you'll see, like, and I don't mean to keep harping on this, but you will see that teams always have a player stand literally in front of the ball until the referee moves them, and it's because of goals like this, because this is absolutely legal, and it's absolutely a perfectly fine part of the game to take a quick free kick. You see teams do this all the time when they get a foul in the middle of the pitch. They just the person who gets fouled taps the ball with his hand and passes the ball.
Yeah.
It's a quick free kick. You're allowed to do it. And just because you happen to shoot on goal, you don't need to announce that you're about to shoot on goal every time you shoot on goal.
Look, you're bang on. I mean, there's no scenario where Nacho shouldn't try that. There's no scenario.
Madrid fans should be applauding Nacho's, brilliance and guts for taking that shot. I mean, it was an absolutely smart, sneaky shot to take, and I applaud it.
It did, from a Sevilla perspective, you look at it and you see the referee just still kind of in front of the wall, which maybe, that's the only thing that I would say was kind of sketchy about it. But it was a legal goal. It was a savvy move from Nacho. And I think you tip your hat off to him.
Yeah, I agree. And we see a lot of questions about this. But guys, I would encourage you to go look at all the different quick free kick goals that you've seen, and there are a lot of them. This is it's a rather common play. It doesn't always go in, but you do see this happen. I don't know. I don't think this is against the laws of the game. It's certainly not against the laws of the game, and I don't think it's against the ethics of the game either, Keon.
I mean, ethics is subjective anyway. For me, everything goes almost. Like, so many things go in my world, that in sports, where I think people sometimes question. I think whatever you can do to get in your opponent's head, to legally and lawfully do things, whether it's psychologically or anything, a lot of things go. And I think this certainly wasn't the worst thing we saw in sports. I think, if anything, it was a piece of, a clever moment from an aware player.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So after that, other notable moments of this match, I think Cristiano Ronaldo's goal, the second one, was absolutely bang on. One of the most brilliant goals we've seen him in a long time. It was perfectly curled, and it was a brilliant shot because he had the only way that ball was going in is if he hit it the way he did, which was curling around the defender, on the outside of the defender, into the topper, the upper corner. It was a brilliant shot, Keaton.
Yeah, it was maybe his best goal of the season. Maybe.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know which one. I can't think of pinpoint one that's better. I think some of his Atleti goals were – the goals against Atleti in the first La Liga game were very impressive, but they weren't all – they weren't quite like this.
They weren't on Golasso level.
Such a technical brilliance to make this shot curl in and have exactly the correct angle for it. It was perfect. So as always, we're going to just jump right into your questions. As always, if you want to have your questions answered every show, drop us a little bit of money at Patreon, patreon.com/managingmadrid, patreon.com. And we will read your questions. That's one of the things that we do every show. If you toss a little bit of money, and if you toss us $10 or more a month, we will give you a shout out specifically at the end of every match or at the end of every show. And Keon will write an article of your choice. About a subject of your choice. Now, we can't guarantee when that'll come out, but he will do it. So we do have one that will come out over the summer that Kian is writing. So, Kian, let's jump right in. Do we have any Patreon questions this week?
We have quite a few. So this one on patreon.com from Hassan Ali. Not a question, but he just makes a comment. I almost want Juve to score first in the final. And I don't know why, Hassan. I
don't know. That seems really, really intense.
I think maybe this is like a psychological test for us. Like, he wants our reaction to this. Like, this, maybe with the thinking that Real Madrid wake up in certain situations and going behind a goal is one of them. But
I don't think that Madrid are going to need to wake up against Juventus in the final of the Champions League, especially given that Juve's defense has been so good. I would not like to go down a goal to them.
No. So we can brush this one off and say no. Julius Suze Krakowski asks on Patreon, is Vasquez a next Chicharito? Amazing Madridista, good player, but not enough for Real Madrid. Should he be sold?
No.
Nah.
It seems clear that Lucas Vasquez has accepted being this kind of super sub, legs off the bench and in the B team role. Unless he is, I've heard nothing, Keon, maybe you can contradict me, but I've heard nothing that indicates that he is unhappy with his role as an important squad player.
No.
So it seems like he's happy with this and wants to continue, and that's a huge boon to Madrid to have a player as good as Lucas Vázquez to bring in to be those legs. It's the role that Jesse had previously, but that Jesse actually wasn't happy with staying at. And it seems like, as far as we can tell, that Lucas Vázquez actually is fine with this role. So,
if you break down this question, one, is Vázquez the next Chicharito? No, and I think with all due respect to Chicharito, who was a nice guy and he did his job well, and he scored an important goal against Atleti in the Champions League semifinals
or Dude quarterfinals. Played like 1 year for Madrid.
Yeah. Should he be sold? I mean, Vázquez is a type of, like, an amazing utility player, like infinitely better than Chicharito in terms of, like you mentioned it, he's turned down, you know, being the star at Depor growing up, just so he can have an outside chance at breaking through Real Madrid. He loves the club. As we've seen from his penalty last season in the final, he has ice in his veins.
Ice cold.
Ice Oof. Cold. Frozen blood. Vázquez is a lifer, I think. I hope.
He's everything that you want from a squad player. And frankly, there's very little, like, excess value. Like, maybe Madrid could get 15, 20 million euros for him. But the truth is that he's worth much more than that to Madrid as a player who calmly and happily accepts being an important squad player and who is, you know, who actually really is good. Like, he could be, you know, one of the best players on the La Liga team if he decided to do that. But it's great for Madrid that he's decided that this is what he wants to do with his career. And he's worth much more than 20 million euros to Madrid. So it doesn't make any sense to sell him, if that makes sense, Ian.
No, I agree. And he brings a lot of versatility. Like, you saw the difference he made today against Sevilla. Like, the flank just completely stabilized itself when he came in. You know, so this guy, there's no way, like, I would sell him unless he's in a situation where he's saying, like, fist on the table, get me out of here. I want to start, like, for Malaga or something. He's not leaving.
Mm-hmm.
So, question from Andrew Gomez, another patron. How can this team gain midfield dominance against tough opponents without Modric?
That's a good question. I think the question is, what player can come in and provide some of that, what Modric provides? The truth is, the question essentially is, how do we replace arguably the best pure center midfielder in the world? And the answer is, it's really hard to do that. But Madrid has a lot of talent at that position. Kovacic, as we've been saying, has a lot of these characteristics. But, you know, he's maybe even better than Modric on a defensive level. I don't know, Kian. How would you answer this question?
Wasn't there there was a chunk of time this season, wasn't there, that Modric missed some time and it was Kroos and Kovacic?
Yeah,
I could be wrong. Was. I'm pretty sure there was. I just can't remember the exact schemes that they wrote. I think today, this kind of segues into a lot of other questions too, where people were asking, the Kroos-Kovacic double pivot, is this like proof that it just doesn't work? I think it worked after the substitutions. And I think so the answer always goes back to saying, in the right scheme it works, in the wrong scheme it doesn't. Asensio and James, while being very good offensively, I made several notes throughout the game where they just look lost on defensive sequences.
Yeah.
And Kroos and Kovacic get spread thin in those situations. I think if you're going to have a double pivot, you can't have four attacking players in front of them. Like in this situation, Asensio, James, Morata, Ronaldo, who essentially they're not going to be your defensive stalwarts or whatever. So you need to have either Casemiro in there, or you need to pack the flanks and have Lucas Vázquez or Gareth Bale in there to make sure it works defensively.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree with that. But like I said, I still think it's a tough question because fundamentally you're asking Madrid to replace. I think that we might be able to say that he is the most crucial player on the team when it comes to a lot of Madrid's offensive moves. So how do you replace that player? It's tough.
Yeah, the pound for pound question is, the answer is you don't, you can't. But to cope with it better, you have to pack the midfield.
Yeah.
And just provide Kroos and Kovacic with more cover and help in the midfield. Question from Sahil Jain, another patron. He asked on Twitter, The 2017 transfer window, who all do you think are going out? Seems like quite a list, and who will replace the players going out? So
Okay, so this actually answers a lot of questions that we're getting on Facebook and Twitter, because one of my answers, Keon, is one of the players I expect to leave this summer is Hamas. It's too
yeah.
bad. We love Hamas, but it does seem like he is the odd man out,
How did you feel, by the
especially.
way, like deep down in your soul when you saw James walk off like that? Did you emotionally, did it affect you at all?
Yeah, I mean, I love Hamas, and I've been, I'm sad that he fundamentally hasn't gotten what we were hoping to get out of, he hasn't gotten what he was hoping to get out of his career playing at Madrid, but he, yeah, I was sad. I was sad watching him walk off the pitch today because it's likely the last time he'll play his home team in the Bernabeu. Now, we'll see. Obviously, I don't have a crystal ball and I wouldn't pretend to predict things, but I'd say the most likely scenario is him leaving, especially with it being like that Isco signs this long contract and also just fundamentally the way Isco has played over the last season. He's been absolutely crucial and huge almost every time he's been on the pitch. And unfortunately, that does leave James as the odd man out. But we were discussing this, Ken, a few other times. If James, and I have no ill will towards him at all, but if he did feel like sticking around, it does feel like Madrid in the offensive line is going to need to bring in some real young blood soon. It's just Cristiano Ronaldo has shown himself to be a little bit ageless in a way that maybe we didn't expect. So like if. The truth is that Benzema's 30 now, and Cristiano's 30, plus going on 34. If he, it's only going to be a year or two more of this attacking line likely, but obviously James shouldn't feel like he has to accept being a bench player on Real Madrid just to get that opportunity. So I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what your thoughts are on that. In terms of other players likely to leave, we discussed this. It seems clear that Quintrao is going to leave. Kehler probably will leave because Madrid will bring in someone like David De Gea. And Pepe, I think Pepe sadly will be the last another person I'm looking at to leave this summer.
Yeah,
Other than that, I
that's
don't
about
see
right.
tons of departures.
I think that's about right. So, like, the question is, who do we think we're going out? This is obviously a very different question from if we were to construct the squad
Right,
ourselves, what would it
that's
be?
right.
But those three are the names. Sorry, those four, right? Navas,
Yes, for.
Coentrao, Pepe, and James.
Yeah.
In terms of replacements, because Sahil asking that, I don't think you replace James. I think you just kind of relieve
Yeah.
the overkill at that position.
I agree. I think that it's actually less likely that Hazard, I don't know. I was looking at what the replacements, what the obvious players are. It's been clear that Madrid's been making googly eyes at Hazard. Obviously, Madrid's made googly eyes at Mbappe and Dybala. So it's all these players that Madrid is staring at, but I don't know. I don't know what the answer is there. I think the only obvious person that's coming in is going to be a keeper. And the question is whether it's David De Gea or Thibaut Courtois. And my money right now would be on De Gea, but I think there are a number of other options that Madrid is looking at.
And then for the left back, Teo probably seems
Teo, oh
all
yeah, well,
but
we already
done.
know that Teo is coming in.
Yeah.
That one's all but done. Vinicius Jr., remember, is not
But
coming in for a few more years, though. That'll be a signing likely also.
right. So next question from our patron Naz Habib. He says, "How good is Asensio? How long do you think we have before he starts clamoring for a starting spot?"
All right, he's already knocking on that door, my man,
I
but
think he's
I think
there.
that he's there already. So, but I think that I also don't think that Asensio is going to feel strongly in the way that James does that his career will really be hampered if he keeps performing at this level with Real Madrid. Just remember that even a few months ago, Asensio wasn't like the guy off the bench for Madrid. So he's really grown into his crucial role as the season has progressed. And so next season, we can expect him to continue to grow and to continue to force his way into more and more lineups.
Yeah.
I think it's a great trajectory for him, and it's the perfect time because he actually has a few more years where he can continue to do what he's been doing. And by the end of like the time when Madrid is still running out Cristiano and Benzema, who are like I said, are both getting towards the top and peak end of their career, Asensio will be, what, he's the 20,
He's
20, 21
21,
right now,
so
right? So
he's
like,
got 4 years.
right.
He's got 4 years more youth than James, you know, and probably more patience too.
Right.
And he's there, man. Like if you look
he
at him
is.
play on the field, he looks like he's 27.
Look at him. Look at him today. It was just, he was such a rock star.
Like he doesn't look out of place at all. He looks like he's
I
been
love
doing
watching
this for
him.
years. It's amazing.
He may be a future Ballon d'Or winner. I know I'm being a little bit aggressive with him, but he is everything that you see, and if you consider his age and the projection is incredible. Madrid is very lucky.
There
well,
were
smart, because they locked him down. Any more patron questions?
I think that's all the patron questions we had, my friend. Do you want to
all
take
right,
any on
wonderful. Yeah.
Facebook?
So we have some Facebook questions. We have a number of questions about James, so I think we should probably just go back to that. Just a number of people, and I'm not going to name all your names, have asked about James. So Ibrima Khalil asks, he asked the same question about James, about who's his replacement, John Benedict. I think this is the question. Was that James' last game at the Bernabeu? We've answered that. We said, yeah, we think so. And now I think that Masheke Muzi asks us, why James? Wouldn't it be better if it, I guess the person you're talking about, if the person to leave were Glass Bale and Asensio should be a regular starter from now on, question mark? I don't know if that's a question. Ramos and Varane pairing, poor positioning. I don't know what that means. So I guess the question that you're asking us is Bale, shouldn't Bale be leaving and not James? And I don't see why it has to come down to that, to those two people, but it does seem less likely to almost not like impossible for Bale to leave this season. Mainly for a number of reasons, but Florentino loves Bale. Bale is also, Madrid has a lot of invested in Bale, and also Bale has proven to be a game-breaking, total dominant type of player when he's totally fit, and he's proven to work really well with Ronaldo. I'm not sure you can make the same argument about James.
Healthy Bale is a top five player on the planet.
Yeah,
healthy Bale,
so,
like he is the most, one of the most elite players when he's healthy, and if you give him like if you can hope that he can just recover this summer, it's not a huge gamble to just stick with him. And I think what he also,
it's not at all a gamble to stick
no,
with him.
He also brings more versatility, more stability defensively. And why James, like, who replaces him? We just spent a good chunk of time praising Asensio.
Yep.
And I think that's the reason why you don't need anyone to replace him, because you just, like, give the keys to Asensio.
So Rutuj Kusurkar asks us, is James and Asensio's lack of defensive positioning and disability to cut off passing lanes, I don't think that's what you mean, but inability to cut off passing lanes, the only reason for the shovel of the, for, sorry, the only reason for the failure of the double pivot, or does it have more in it?
I think we kind of answered this question already.
Yeah, I agree.
I think, yeah, the double pivot failing is not a result of those two players in the scheme. It's a result of the scheme itself.
Yeah.
So the reason the double pivot can work, which it has worked before in the past, is because you need to pack the midfield. And today was case in point. Like, Kovacic and Kroos all of a sudden looked like everything was secure when the substitutions were made.
Because they packed the midfield, right? Like, it wasn't...
Right.
You know, what Madrid had started with was essentially a double pivot that was alone and stranded in that midfield. It was almost a 4-2-4.
Right.
And that's not exactly a recipe for success in the midfield.
And there was a question, like, on, just to tie into that, there was a question that I skimmed earlier that someone had asked. I don't know where it is now, but someone had asked if a trio of Ronaldo, Morata, and Benzema would work, and it wouldn't for the reasons we mentioned. It's two; those are three players who just don't do enough defensively to help stabilize.
That's a big
the team.
Problem, and that's why Bale is such an important part of that trident when he's healthy, and Isco has been such an important part because they both, you know, really add a level of defensive solidity to that lineup. Here's a good question, Kian, and I know Kian also does a great podcast called Churros y Tácticas. It's a podcast just generally about the Spanish Liga. So, Kian, Sergio Garcia, so I hope this is the golfer, because I'm a big fan of yours, my man. He asks us, Most of the fans don't know how Celta have been doing recently. Can you shed some light on their recent performances and how they could pose a danger to Real Madrid and maybe how we can exploit them? So, Kian, I'm going to let you take this question. Just talk a little bit about Celta. That's the next match. It's midweek. It's on the 17th. Huge game away for Madrid against a very tough opponent. Yeah. Why don't we just hop in?
I kind of felt that Celta have been underwhelming overall this season. And especially in La Liga, they haven't been that good. And I think, you know, they got blown away by Alaves not long ago. And then they lost yesterday, was or today they got blown away. But who was it? Oh, my goodness. I watched this game. Anyways, but, you know, they put their eggs in the European basket and hope that, and the Copa basket too, until Alaves knocked them out. And then they really put everything into the game against Man U, and we're probably unlucky not to win that tie, to be fair. But overall, yeah. Like, I'm not sure. And they will have nothing to play for apart from a briefcase on the last match day. And, you know, if we're asking who's the better team and who should win, Real Madrid should win. And I think the only reason they got blown away by Celta in the Copa was because of that really weird scheme they played, where they played three at the back with Casemiro. Like, I think in a normal game where you have to win and you have your full lineup, I don't think there's not really a reason why Real Madrid shouldn't at least get a draw in that game.
Yes, I agree. And, I mean, Celta is a dangerous team. They are definitely one not to be taken lightly, but I agree that this is an important game for Madrid. But, Kian, I think if you're Madrid, you're looking to win this game so that the last match day, it's a different story, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So you want to make sure you only need a point in that last game. And by the way, it was Alaves today. They were up 3-0, and then Celta scored a consolation goal. But, yeah, I think in a situation... It all comes back to Malaga in my eyes. I think Malaga will be the toughest one because they're the most informed team of the three. And they're the ones that have turned the corner. They're the ones that, you know, took 3 points off of Barca earlier in April. Yeah, they might not have anything to play for, but in terms of the best team that's capable, I think it's going to come down to Malaga. That'll be the toughest one.
And so, I mean, we don't have that many more questions that are, I think, particularly useful to jump into. Adwait Matre asks us, reminds us that Juve just lost 3-1 to Roma. And he jumps into a lot of psychological things. I wouldn't worry. You know, I wouldn't get too excited about that. That's all I'll say because, you know, it's a different – Juve's already wrapped up the Serie A title. You know, their heads probably aren't in this game as much, and they're probably resting lots of people. So I would just say that, you know, if you're Madrid, do not even, like, if you're a fan of Madrid, do not even consider thinking about Juve yet. Two huge games left. Madrid need to lock these two games down to win the Liga right now. I would not worry too much about Juve's performances. I would think much more about Madrid's.
There's still two more games. The only thing I'd say, Gabe, is that it's interesting that while they looked so good in the Champions League, on an Italian scale, Napoli made them look really mortal in the Coppa Italia, and they just kind of overrun them and were unlucky. And, you know, Roma 3-1 today. I think there is a small chance, while I think Juve will be the toughest game of the season, I think there is a chance that Barcelona made them look better than they were. And Monaco just didn't have enough in the tank to get past them. I'll say that. But I still think it's going to
be a tough task. We'll see. I'm hopeful that that's true. It's going to be a tough task. It's going to be a great game, tough test. I still think it's a coin flip. Last question, Kian. Michel Soltis asked us, how about no? So, no.
He doesn't deserve an answer.
How about yes? How about that?
How about the million questions we did get?
Yeah. How about that? all right, my man. Well, huge game. Last prediction, Kian, who's going to play center back against Delta? We actually had this is a question I meant to get to. Choudhury Shuvo.
Still no word on Pepe. You know, while we think he's missing the season, Zidane kind of was ambiguous about it in the press conference, and he said, "We don't know. He may not, but I'm assuming he won't." So it's probably, I'd imagine it'll be Varane and Ramos, wouldn't it?
I think it's going to be Varane and Ramos, especially because Nacho actually picked up the yellow card, so he may be suspended. And so that's really, I think that's the tea leaves there, my friend. So, Kian, happy Mother's Day. It was great chatting with you. Again, guys, Madrid just needs to pull off 4 points out of the next two matches. It's right there for the taking, and it's up to Madrid to do it. So, be vigilant, be careful. We have a lot more content coming up. Follow closely. But be excited because this is the business end of the season. All right, Kian. Happy Mother's Day, everyone, and a la Madrid.
Hala Madrid.